Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rent you. Precious Lord, we thank you in advance. We thank you for the adversities that has made us better. We thank you for the good times that has made us happy. We thank you for the church, Father God, that you shed your blood for. You said the church was to be built on truth. We pray today, Father God, that your truth would be preached, that your truth would be lived out when the service ends and folks leave here. We pray that the word of God and the truth would follow them out the door and into the highways and byways. Father, thank you for everything you do and everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Interesting. First of scriptures, six verses. Some of the most popular verses in the Bible. I've heard it a lot over the years. One of the most popular verses in the Bible. I believe it's the devil's favorite verse. No doubt about it. Say anything to anybody about anything, and the first thing they say is, oh, you know, you ain't you a Christian? Don't you know you ought not to judge? You ought not to judge. You ought not to judge. That ain't what Matthew was reading about earlier this morning. I heard him. David, I believe this ought to be true of every man and woman of God. Emphasis on man or woman of God. We ought to be like David. Amen. David said, judge me. Uh-huh. David said, examine me. Uh-huh. David said, search me. Uh-huh. David said, try me. Uh-huh. What's the reason? What's the reason for judgment? The reason for judgment is not to condemn. It's not to condemn. But it's to open up the highways so that we can minister to someone. You know, I couldn't have never been ministered to unless I was first judged. I had to be judged first. I had to be called out. I had to be confronted. Amen. And then God was able to do work through the word. But as long as I was rebellion, I couldn't be ministered to. Amen. I couldn't be ministered to. So let's say that again. The reason for judgment was not to condemn. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, listen, we're not trying to condemn anybody. Okay? I hear it all the time. Folks just critical, fault-finding, looking for a reason to attack. Looking for a reason. Can't find one, make up one. Just critical. Only see the worst of anybody. And you know, I think I've said this before. You know, I look for something nice to say about somebody. You ought to find, be able to find something nice to say about somebody. It may not be easy, but you ought to look for it. If we looked as hard to find something nice to say to somebody as we do to find something wicked, the world would be a better place. Should we not judge? That's not what it's saying. What it's saying, we ought to judge with knowledge. Judge with knowledge. You know, get to you know the situation. Some folks going through. If you didn't know any better, if you didn't have knowledge, and you come to Wednesday night and you looked at that seat where Claire sits at, vacant all the time. If you didn't have knowledge of what she was dealing with, you would say, well, you know, Claire just fell off. Her and the pastor on the outs. He done said something. He done something. You just, because you didn't have any knowledge. Okay, so you want to judge with knowledge. Now, we're not talking about not judging because, you know what? The Word of God is a book of warnings. Okay? But we want to judge with knowledge. And then we want to judge with, I like this one, tender mercy. He put some tender mercy on that judging. When you have to confront someone, make sure you got knowledge. Make sure you understand what's going on with that person. And then do it with mercy. Do it with mercy. Why? Because the Word of God says, blessed are the what? Merciful. Why? For they should what? For they should receive mercy. Because think about it like this. When we needed mercy. When we was out there doing our thing, lying and cussing and drinking and whatever. Put your name on it. Sin. We needed mercy. Somebody came to us with mercy. Somebody came with us with knowledge. That's why I say some of the best people to do ministry is folks that have been through some. Okay? See, we need some. A lot of ex-sinners up here. You know, the church ought to be full of ex-folks. So we can sit here and say, you know what? I know what you're going through. I got a little bit of knowledge in that area because there was a time in my life I was. Amen. I was into that. I did that. I smoked that. I used to hang out there. Anybody in here other than me? Right around Youngstown and some of them old landmarks. Just me. They tore yours down. The whole project's all brand new. But y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on, you got them exes in here. You know, I'll put it like this. I'll put it like this. I lost my mother. She was young, 57. You know how many opportunities I've had to minister to people who've lost their mothers at young ages, and I've been able to come and comfort them? Because I know how that feels. And I know how that feels. And I know some of you guys, I've heard Rita and I've seen Ann, and some of you guys now watching Dave and Lori go through aging parents. And you can minister to someone who is doing what you have done. Because you have knowledge and you know the mercy that it takes to do that. Everybody can't do it. Some folks just can't do it. You can't, you're not gonna force them to do it. It's not in them. So we judge with knowledge, we judge with mercy, and we judge with love. But you know what? Somebody said love. Sometimes love is what? Tough. Paul had some problems in the church in Corinth. He had some problems in the church, and he had a problem with fornication in the church. Let me turn here. Because, you know, we don't have a problem with fornication in the church anymore. Everybody fornicating. So it's not a problem in our church today because everybody fornicating. We don't know who might. Leave it alone. It is reported, Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Fornication among you in the church. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were some fornicating folks. They were some freaky folks. Okay, they was doing some stuff that one should have his father's wife. Now, they didn't outdone the Gentiles in God's house. And here's the church's position. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned. See, the church ought to be mourning when one in leadership, one in authority, one in leadership is a known fornicator. Church ought to be mourning. What was they doing? Puffed up. Amen. The brother preaching. They know he a fornicator and he preaching. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. And they ought to be mourning.
Amen.
They should have been mourning. They should have been mourning, crying, praying over this brother. And he ought to have been sitting somewhere in the church.
Amen.
He ought to have been sitting down somewhere. And they ought to have been mourning over him. Because Amen. What he has done to the church. The shame he has brought to the church.
Amen.
Listen. That's not what they did. Watch this now. For I verily as absent in the body, but present in the Lord have. What did Paul say? Judged already. See, this is a great place for judging. Paul said, I didn't judge already. He waiting on y'all to confirm what he already know to do.
Amen.
There's a role that the church has to do. Let me cover another one. 1 John. Because we get to the point, people say, you shouldn't judge. And a lot of this is geared toward preachers. And those in positions of leadership. This one in 1 John, I thought it was fascinating. We ought not judge. Please judge me.
Amen.
Man of God, woman of God, please judge me. Test me. You keep me right. See, you keep the preacher right when you're judging them, when you're testing them, when you're trying them, when you're watching them. Talk to my wife. Talk to Ray. See, we got this secret society. No. You want to hear the word of God, it got to come out of a clean vessel. I'm not going to preach nothing if my wife ain't here. She ain't here today. She ain't stopped coming. I can't do this without her. I'm going to be sitting down there back there with Randy. Can't do this. Paul, John rather, says this in verse 1 of chapter 4, 1 John 4. He says, beloved. Folks, that word beloved means those that love the Lord. Now, if you don't love the Lord, you ain't got a right to judge nobody. If you don't love the Lord, that's what the text is saying. If you don't love the Lord, this is just leave spiritual things alone.
Amen.
Beloved, those that love Jesus. Because it's important that you love Jesus. And if you love him, you're going to know him. And then when you love him, you're going to know him. Then you're going to know who's coming that represents him. You're going to know. See, this is why so many phonies can just stand up in a church and preach and nobody know. They false teachers because they don't know the real.
Amen.
They don't know the real. So you don't know the real. And every hallelujah. Amen. Bring them on in. I have such a hard time finding a preacher to come here and preach because.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
It's tough out there. Y'all know it is. And if I brought somebody here, somebody gonna know something. They're gonna say, listen, preacher, he's preaching one thing and doing another. Brought this man up here. And he don't know what we know. Listen. Believe not every spirit. Okay?
Amen.
But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Try me to judge. Test them.
Amen.
Check them out. Watch this now. Watch this. Try the spirits. Spirits representing people. When a man come up here, he coming up here in spirit. He's a spirit up here. Okay? So he said, try the spirit. Whether they are of God. Why? Why, John? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Going out into the world. They're going out into the world and they got a worldly message.
Amen.
And they get it from the world because they watch what the world do. And they form their message around the world.
Amen.
You go to these churches and choreography and everything has got to be perfect because 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, we're on. And you know, and everything got to be perfect. Just like this NFL Hall of Fame yesterday. Everything was perfect. Because that's how the world do. And all the celebrities was there. And all the big shots was there. And the church looks at that and says, the worldly preacher say, Oprah doing it. I can do it. Dr. Field doing it. Dr. Oz doing it. And our message is worldly. And people can relate to it because they know the world better than they know the Lord. Keep judging. Look at this one. Matthew 18. Now I'm not gonna rest my hat on this too long. I think y'all get the drill. We don't do none of this anymore. Chapter 18, verse 15. And we wondered why the church is in condition of sin. And we scared to judge. Because you know what they're going to say? Who are you? Who are you to judge me? They don't want to hear it. Don't worry about me. You worry about you. Folks jazzy in the church now. They get fly with you. Get fly with the preacher. They don't care. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. Okay? Y'all, somebody got an issue with the pastor? I'm going to use myself. Just me and you, one-on-one. I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. I need to stop doing that. Problem solved. Problem solved. As long as it ain't like in 1 Corinthians 5. That kind of stuff. But if he will not hear you, then take the one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, Deacon Luke didn't want to hear me. Uh-oh. Deacon Elmer didn't want to hear me. He said, I ain't trying to hear you. So I got to go get some two more folks. I ain't going to get his wife. So I get Jake, and I get Minister Brian, and say, man, hey, Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them. Well, I ain't trying to hear y'all neither. I'm doing what I want to do. Okay? But if he neglect to hear them, what we do? But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. What's the point? Judging is important. Judging is important. Let's look at this. And I know my Wednesday night folks, we covered this and we covered it in Lent. I'm just going to touch it because remember Solomon? Solomon was given a great mission. He was given to rule all of Israel. And you know what Solomon knew he needed? Wisdom. That's important. Wisdom to do what? To judge. Wisdom to do what? To judge. Take on a big task. Some of us in here are supervisors, and I was talking to Sharon yesterday, and I know Dave and some of you guys in here supervise people. People hard to supervise. People hard to supervise. Listen what you need to do. You need to get on your knees. And ask God, say, God, listen, And you didn't call me to this, and you know I got to take care of my family. I need to work. But listen, I need wisdom to supervise these heathens. Let me tell you something. When you're a godly person and you're supervising ungodly people, somebody know what I'm talking about. You need wisdom from above. Okay? And Solomon went to the Lord, and listen, he asked the Lord in 1 Kings 3 and 9. He says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." What's an understanding heart? Knowledge, discernment, tender mercy, and love. All that is incorporated in an understanding heart. If you're going to judge folk, judge them with an understanding heart. Okay? Judge them with an understanding heart. He wanted an understanding heart. Watch this. "In the speech, please the Lord." That Solomon had asked this thing, and God said to him, "Because thou hast asked this thing and has not asked for long life, neither has asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thy enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." Watch this now. Behold, Solomon, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. What for, Solomon? So that there is none like thee before thee, neither shall any rise but. He gave Solomon an understanding heart. Man, I need an understanding heart.
Amen.
That ought to be the pastor's plea. Give me an understanding. Give me an understanding heart. Listen. Knowledge. Let me give you a couple of reasons why we ought not judge without knowledge. It's important. It's important to judge with knowledge. There's a story. The story is told. Y'all hear about undercover bosses in movies like that. Well, this boss, he ran this big factory, sort of like one Dave worked at. So he's the boss, so he said he's going to take a tour. So he's walking around the floor, and he sees a guy just standing on the wall, leaning there, you know, and he's just chilling. So the boss walks over and says, "What are you doing? How long you been working? How much money you make a week?" And he says, $300. So he whipped out $300 bills and told him, "Get out of here, don't come back." So the manager that he was walking with, the boss said, "Who was that guy? Lazy, sitting over there doing nothing." And the manager was like, "He was just delivering a package." And that's how we do when we don't have knowledge. We can rip somebody's head off. The word of God says in Galatians 6, it says those who are spiritual. He says, if a brother or sister is caught in an ark, he said, those of you who are what? Spiritual. Go to such a one. How? In mercy and grace and love with an understanding heart. Listen, we don't judge because, you know what? We all sin. We all are fallen individuals. Listen, John, 1 John. I thought this was interesting. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 8. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. We don't want to judge without knowledge, without an understanding heart, without grace and mercy, because you know what? We sin.
Amen.
We sin. Your pastor sins. These ministers sin. These deacons sin. These choir members sin. And we have to be careful when we judge folks without knowledge and without the understanding of things. Here's one. Here's another reason. We don't judge because one day, you know what? We're going to be judged. We're going to be judged. And that's what the text is saying next. He said, for what judgment you judge. Okay? We called to judge now. Don't even stop. We called to judge. It says, for with what judgment ye judge, verse 2 of Matthew 7, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Okay? So if you set the standard high for other folks, it's going to be high for you. Let me say that again. The higher you set it for other folks, the higher it's going to be for you. Let me give you a verse. Try to enlighten that. James 2. James 2 says this. He says in verse 12, so speak ye and do, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that have shown what? No mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. What's James saying? You don't show no mercy, don't expect none. Okay? If when you're dealing with folks and you don't show no mercy, don't expect none. Why? Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, we talk about the rich man all the time. It's one of the more popular sermons or parables. But why was the rich man in hell? That's the question when I asked the question of the story of the rich man Lazarus. Why was he in hell? Because he showed no mercy. Not because he was rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. Okay? Nothing wrong with purple. Okay? Nothing wrong with eating good every day. I do. Most of us in here do. And if you didn't, you eat good at least first Sunday and every fifth Sunday. Okay? Listen. He was in hell because he refused to show Lazarus mercy. Man, Lazarus is laid out in front of him. We got folks laid out in front of us. Are you merciful? Are you merciful? That's a wonderful question. Are you merciful? Do you have a heart of mercy? See, we always say, I'm blessed. I hear people, how you doing? I'm blessed. Well, blessed are the merciful. You don't have no mercy. No love in your heart for anybody. But you blessed. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. God's looking for merciful people. The church ought to be filled with people of mercy. See, some folks worry about the attendance and all that. I don't get into that.
Amen.
And let me say why. I mean, you got your church full of folks. Full of folks. With no mercy.
Amen.
No love. No meekness. No self-control. Yeah, we just have a church full of folks. God is looking for mercy. He's looking for people of God ought to be merciful. Why? Because he's a God of mercy. That's one of his names. He's a God of mercy. You know what? When you get to heaven, there's a big chair up there. Yes, it's a room. And it's called the throne room of mercy. And in that room, it's got a seat called the mercy seat. God sit on that seat. Thank you for your mercy. Here's a story Jesus told about a man who couldn't have no mercy. Now, I'm going to get down to the business here. One man came to Jesus, they called him. I need to read it. Y'all just hanging there with me. I get so many pages and I want to get through everything. And then I say, you know what? I don't want to cut no corners because this is important.
Amen.
And here it is, Matthew 18. It says in verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That's a good question. We get tired of folks always lying and taking from you and disrespecting you, and you got to keep forgiving them because you're a Christian. And just abuse you. You know, we just get abused. till seven times. That's what Peter said. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until seven times seven, 70 times seven. That's a lot. Okay? You're not going to be able to count that. Okay? Some folks, we get mad at folks and don't speak to them no more after four times. We just, I'm done with them. You know, three strikes, you out. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which take account of the servants. Now, don't be the servants. Now, watch this now. You one of these two servants. You either owe him a lot or you owe him a little bit. Okay? Being that we are in Youngstown, on the east side of Youngstown, we probably owe him a little bit. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, which in our economy would be like, in Spurgeon's day, it was $2 million. And that was in the 1800s. So we probably talking a billion. He might owe this man a billion. For as much as he had not to pay, he couldn't pay it, no matter what it was. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. How about that? Going to put the whole family in slavery. The whole family going into slavery to pay the debt. Okay? And then the man broke out in some Donnie McClurkin, and we fall down. He just broke out some. Listen, he just broke out. You can tell the man was a man of God because he broke out in a worship. Y'all better get this. Listen, here's what he said. Then the servant therefore fell down. There it is. And worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I mean, he must have been impressive. I mean, he must have really been impressive. He must have really impressed this Lord. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. How about that? Now he leaves church. When does service start? Not at 10:45, not at 11. Service start, we leave here. Okay? See, we think we in service now. We not in service now. Service start when we leave here, when you go home. Start cussing them kids out. Service start when you got to deal with your wife and you got to deal with your husband and you got to deal with all the cares of the world. That's when service starts. Don't start at 11 o'clock. We've been fooled. So he leaves service. Forgiven of his debt. Family don't have to go to jail. And he said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I have been blessed today. God has been good to me. Same thing we hear all over the church all the time. God has been good to me. And he leaves church. You look at verse 28. But the same servant who's been blessed, who was worshiping, just left worship, just got out of the choir stand, just got done directing the choir, praising the Lord. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, went out looking now. He didn't took off the garment of praise. He didn't took off his Sunday suits and all his Sunday clothes. Now he didn't put his Timberlands on. His blue jeans. And went out and found one of his servants. He went out looking for somebody. Not to bless. Okay? Which owed him 100 pence. Which would be about $200. In today's economy. And laid hands on him. Lay hands on him. Okay? He wasn't trying to heal him. He was not Pentecostal. Okay? He laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Now, this is the word of God. Y'all would think this is just me talking, because this sounds like something we do. And took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest. I need mine." And his fellow servant fell down and did the same thing he did. Besought him, saying, "Have patience with me. I will pay you all." And he would not. He would not have patience, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Okay? Now, what's our point? How you judge? How you will be judged. Okay? Watch this. Watch what happens. And his fellow servants saw what was done. Folk are always watching you. Okay? Now, I was at Jake's party yesterday. I'm watching Jake. Amen. I'm watching how he handled all these folks. I got there just in time to hear him pray. I said, "Let me see. He's going to cop out." No, no. He had all Jackie's folks over there like, "Oh, this is long." Jake been growing in the last couple weeks. He had a cross with Jesus on it. Uh-oh. Yeah. Y'all know that cross? He's wearing it for 6 years. And he went to his jeweler and had Jesus took off.
Amen.
I love Jake. I'm going to leave him alone. Great party, though. Listen. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they watching him. Listen, I know if y'all see me somewhere, y'all see me at Walmart, y'all gonna watch me for a while. I know that, because if I see y'all, I'm gonna watch y'all for a while. While I speak, I'm gonna watch y'all. I'll be watching Deacon Oliver. I see him in that cart at Giant Eagle. I'm watching him, see what he do. They watched it. Watch what it. And they were very sorry. They were very sorry. Know why? Because here's a person who was just worshiping, praising the Lord, giving honor to God and thanking God and everything. And now he living like a fool. He acting like a heathen. He acting like he don't know God. Okay? And you know what they did? They told. They told their Lord all that was done. And then the Lord said, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on you?" Let me tell you, saved individual. Saved individual, born again believer, filled with the Holy Ghost. God has had pity on us. Amen. Okay? God has had pity on us. All of us who are saved. All of us who know that they've been delivered. God has had pity on us. Amen. And we ought to have pity on folks. We ought to be pitiful. Compassionate. Full of mercy. Full of love and forgiveness. We ought to. Keep going. Stay with me. Verse 3. I'm going to go verse by verse. I'm going to get to verse 6. Hopefully, and I'm going to keep moving. In verse 3 of Matthew 7, it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" A mote. It's a little tiny thing. Now, I have on contacts, and some of you guys wear contacts. You know, every once in a while, you put one of them contacts in, and something get up under them. And you get the blinking, that eye turn red. And then it usually will go away. That's what I think when you start talking about a mote, little speck of dust. That's why they tell you to wear goggles when you're out doing work, something getting your eye. That's what a speck is. Now, it says, "Beholdest thou have a mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in your eye." Now, working for the Department of Correction every year, twice a year now, because of children's service, I got to watch these first aid shows. And that part comes up, and it just freaks me out all the time. Because you know it's going to happen. I've been with the department for 27 years now, so I've seen this 27 years in a row. And he's working on something, and boom, there you go. Now, it's, you know, he's got the beam in his eye, got the thing impaled in his eye. You ain't seeing nobody else's fault when you got something in your eye like that. When you got a problem in your eye like that, and really the mote, the little dust means little stuff. Little stuff. All of us got little stuff. Okay? Who in here don't got little stuff? Little stuff. Okay? Now, somebody with little stuff don't want to hear nothing about nobody with no beam. Now, if I'm sitting up here with a beam in my eye, okay? A beam would be, somebody help me. Yeah. In my eye. No, what it really means is a big sin. I got a big sin. Okay? Y'all know I like boys. Y'all know I got a woman in the church. Y'all know I done stole all the money and I'm preaching. That's a beam.
Amen.
I got a beam, okay? You may smoke, but I got a beam in my eye when I'm telling you not to smoke. That's a beam. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, you got this big old sin in your life. Okay? You an adulterer. Okay? You a pastor, fornicator, adulterer. A married pastor can't be a fornicator. He's an adulterer. But I'm preaching to you. What I'm preaching about? With a beam in my eye. You know, for the state, we got to get sprayed. If you want to carry chemicals, you want to carry spray, mace, fox, whatever, you got to get sprayed. You got to get sprayed before you can carry it. So you stand there and you don't wear contacts to work that day. And they hit you with a full facial. Boom! And then you got to fight for 60 seconds in the hot sun. That's the picture of it. You ain't seeing nothing. You ain't seeing nothing. You just sit there and fight. That's what Jesus is talking about. David, God so graciously gave us David. David had a beam. David had a beam. Not this David. King David. He had a beam. And David knew he could not do anything for God without that, with that beam in his eye. Okay? Y'all with me? Now, watch what David did in Psalms 51. Now, we've been over this. But David wanted to serve God. Now, remember, David wasn't a pastor. All right? David was a king. Now, we get it all confused. David was a king, not a pastor. But David knew that he was God's man. Because God said David was a man after my own heart. So David pleaded with God to remove the beam. I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. In Psalm 51, 9, it says, hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Come on, David. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. See, in the Old Testament, they can take it from you. See, in the New Testament, in Ephesians 1 and 13, we've been sealed.
Amen.
Nobody taking it now. You get it? You got it.
Amen.
Listen. He says to God, he's still on his knees. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He's seen what happened to Saul. He's seen what happened to Saul. And he didn't want that to happen. He said, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Somebody needs to ask God that. See, I see so many Christians today, just joyless, just no joy in serving the Lord, just fussy and cranky and arguing and just restore unto me the joy of salvation. You ought to be the happiest person alive. Know why? You can't lose. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, what do you got to be cranky about? David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Listen, here's the reason why you might be cranky. You done lost your joy, your salvation. Watch this. And uphold me with thy free spirit. David needed the spirit. He needed his salvation. He needed the joy of his salvation back. And then he said this. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David knew. David knew. Get this beam out of my life. Now, if you're here today and you got a beam, ask God. Listen, I need this beam removed. It'll take away your desire. It'll take away your joy. It'll disqualify you. It'll make you, as the next verse says, a hypocrite. A hypocrite. Verse 5. We don't want to have no hypocrites. Jesus is still talking. He's talking to disciples. He says this to a person with a beam that's trying to tell somebody with a mote. Or somebody with a big sin. Trying to tell somebody with a little sin. He calls him a hypocrite. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam. Now, that word cast, and I've told this story, I'm going to tell it again. Take the boys fishing. Take the boys fishing. If I say, you know what, I'm taking the boys fishing. If I get Braden and Henry and the little ones, you know what? You know what we got going on? A casting contest. They want the biggest sinker in the box. And they ain't throwing all the string off the poles. Somebody gonna let go of the button. That word cast means get that big sin out of your life. That's what he's saying. He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, out of thy own life, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You can't help nobody with a beam in your eye. You can't. You need to get rid of the beam. You wonder why? Well, I lost my joy. I don't want to serve. I don't want to sing. I don't want nothing. You got a beam. Get rid of the beam and then watch what God do. Get rid of the beam. Get rid of the beam. How we doing? Let me keep going. Almost done. I want to make a couple points here. Because God dealt with the judging part, but I don't want anybody to leave here and thinking, well, I shouldn't judge. I shouldn't say nothing about anything. Well, you got a lot to say. Amen. But the key is you ain't got the beam. And the key is you got knowledge and you got mercy and you're doing it in love, and then you got a right. Because folks don't want to hear you. I remember I was at my job years ago. I was talking to a young man. He was having some issues. Female issues. He was a married man. He was having some female issues. He could have had a hard time dealing with females. Most of us do. I'm scared of them. I'm scared of women. He wasn't. Kept him in trouble. So I'm praying with him. I said, look, come on. I'm going to come on and pray with you. And I'm that kind. I'll just pull you up. Let's just do it right here. I'm not taking you no clause, but that don't look right neither. So I'm praying right on the floor. Now, another minister friend of mine at that time came over, and I asked him, you know, hey, come on in and join us. We're going to pray for this brother. And you know what the brother said? I don't want him praying for me. He got the same problems I got.
Honestly. He got a beam too. I want you to judge because it's important. It's important. Cindy and I were looking for washers and dryers. I've told us on Wednesday. We looked for washers and dryers. And we'd have been to Best Buy and H.H. Gregg and been online because we want to make sure we get the right washer and dryer for our needs and our budget. Okay? See? So you have to judge, and I want them to judge these criminals. I want these courts to judge these criminals. How many of y'all know 60% of murder cases in Youngstown go unsolved? You know, we walking around Youngstown, murders everywhere. Because they're not being judged. I remember talking to a guy that finally got caught. He said, you know, he said, Sergeant Neal, I done killed about 15 people. Seriously. He doing life, but he said, I done killed about 15 people. I was a hitman. I want these people to judge. We got a couple of Supreme Court seats coming open, one open. But listen, we got some work to do. Nobody want that seat. Because then what they going to do? Take you to the ringer. They nominate you for that seat. They all your business. Be like, when you was 8 years old, you did some stuff. Y'all don't have to worry about none of us. Ain't gonna get no Christian. Cause we've been born again. Listen, let me finish this thing. He says this. I thought this was interesting. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Verse number 6. Now that's interesting. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Now, how are you gonna do that if you don't judge what a dog is? Okay? You have to have the ability to judge, which is holy unto dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swines. Why? Lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rip you or hurt you. Okay? Now, you take a dog. I thought about this. In New York, I thought about Elmer Jr. Sr. In New York, this is it's called New York, New York. There's a restaurant called the Old Homestead Steakhouse. Okay? And what they're famous for, they sell 25 of these a day. They have the most expensive steak in the world. $350 for a 12-ounce, what is called a Kobe steak, strip steak. $350. Elmer looking at him and Sharon, they've been there. Like, that was good too. Now, these steaks is made out of cows that aren't allowed to even move. They're not grazing cows. These cows actually, y'all check y'all pastor out, because sometimes I had too much time on my hands. And so these cows are actually massaged. They are. They're actually massaged so that the fat will stay on top of the muscle and not the muscle on top of the fat. Something like that. $350. 12-ounce sirloin. Now, here's my point. You lay that 12-ounce strip steak in front of a German Shepherd. He not going to sit here and pray over it or anything. He going to woof that thing down in about 10 seconds. Okay? He going to get rid of that in about 10 seconds. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, don't give that which is holy to dogs. Some folks just ain't going to receive it. You don't sit here and waste your time. I hear people, I had this conversation on yesterday with somebody. Listen, you can't lay down your pearls, the holiness of God's word and scriptures in front of folks that don't want to hear it.
that you know that's wicked and evil, they will turn on you. You put a set of pearls around a pig's neck, and they going straight to the mud with them. They don't care about these pearls around their neck. Listen, give me a scripture. I'm wrapping up. Here's Jesus. Luke 23. Stay with me. This is important because I see a lot of Christians. We working hard trying to minister to a dog or a swine. We try to minister to them. I watch them kids. I have some wonderful Bible teachers come out to the prison and try to witness to these young men in prison, incarcerated, locked up. And I have great teachers come out of the community on this time. And you know what them brothers look in the room? If they didn't bring a snack, they just turn their head. I ain't going in there. They don't want to hear nothing. They don't want to hear nothing. Here's Jesus talking to Herod. He knew Herod didn't want to hear nothing. And Jesus refused to talk to Herod. Y'all see, well, Jesus, he was talking to everybody. Jesus could save everybody. No. Listen, here's the story. And it says, and when Herod saw Jesus, now Herod knew Jesus was in the vicinity, so he wanted to see Jesus for a long time. It said, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season. Why? Because he had heard many things of him. Heard about all the miracles and all the healings. And he just wanted the circus. He wanted to see a trick. Do a trick, Jesus. Do a trick. And that's how the church is today. Let's do a trick. You know, Pastor, don't do no tricks. We ain't coming.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And he says, and because he heard many things of him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. You know, David Copperfield type Jesus. You know, let me pull a rabbit out of my hat. And when you got that kind of stuff going on in the church.
Amen.
You got clowns in the church. Doing tricks. You know, when people want to see a trick, let people got to be entertained. And Herod wanted to be entertained. Watch this. And then he questioned him with many words. He's questioning Jesus. Be careful when you question Jesus. He questioned him with many words. Watch this. But here's Jesus. But he answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. Some folks don't want nothing. They don't want to hear nothing. You don't have to. Here's Paul. Last one. And I'm going to be wrapping it up. Here's Paul. Paul refused. He refused to fall out with folks who didn't want to hear the word. See, we try to jam the word down folks' throat. They don't want to hear it. Amen. They don't want to hear it. I tell Wednesday night. I tell my Wednesday class all the time. I tell Sunday school class all the time. Listen, I'll tell you something. Good students make good teachers.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Good students make good teachers.
Amen.
You ain't a good teacher because you teaching. You got a good teacher because you got good students.
Amen.
What's wrong with the public school system? Bad students.
Oh.
Y'all can sit here and say what you want to say. Randy over there at East, you know what's wrong with East? Bad kids. And bad kids come from bad parents. And everybody getting out. You know, bad kids. And you won't have a good school. You ain't going to have a good school. You ain't going to have a good class. You ain't going to have a good church with bad people. You might have a big one. But you ain't going to have a good one. Listen, close. Paul refused to fall out with these folks. I like Paul. Paul says this in Acts 13. I'm going to let y'all go. He says, and now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That's a beautiful thing. That's the goal of preaching. To get you guys to continue in the grace of God. Understand the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself? It is a gift of God. If the man of God, these ministers, these teachers can get you to continue in the grace of God. To continue living like you know that the grace of God saved me. If it wasn't for grace, where would I be? You live like that. That's the job of the pastor. That's the job of the minister. That's the job of the choir. Sing grace. Sing with what? Grace in your heart. Listen. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You know what that means? Calling him a liar and calling him a godless man, just making up stuff about the man of God. They ain't had nothing on Paul. Paul was God's man, and they didn't have nothing, but they made up stuff. And this is what Paul did. In verse number 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing ye put it away from you. He's talking to the Pharisees and the religious rulers. You know what their job was? To do what Paul was doing. If they would have been doing what they should have been doing, Paul wouldn't have had to come in there and do nothing. Remember the lunatic from Gadara? The lunatic from Gadara, when Jesus sent him out to the capitalists, to the 10 cities, he preached everywhere. And the word of God said, when Jesus went there, he had to do nothing. Because the lunatic, the ex-lunatic, which is all of us, went out there and did the job. Amen. And if the church is doing its job, then we won't have the problems we have at East and at these city schools.
Amen.
If the church is doing its job, because most of them kids sing in the choir and go to school and act like hellions. School's full of Chris got a church on every corner. God should first have been spoken to you, seeing you put it away from you, the Jews did, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. So we turn to the Gentiles. People, God has been good to us. The service is not over when I shut my Bible and we do the benediction and we do the communion. The service just began. When we close the doors in here, the service begins. It begins wherever we go. It begins wherever we go. When David heads down to wherever he's at, North Line or somewhere. Jake over there at the place where he works, Sparkle Market, County Jail, Elmer up in Cleveland, Sharon in Atlanta, Rita at the Easter Seal Center, Margaret at Firestone. Kenny and Teddy. Let me tell you this story about Kenny and Teddy. I just became a pastor here. I don't even know if I was a pastor here. Teddy had a block party at her house. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. Y'all remember that? I ain't never seen nothing like that before. Every 4th of July, you like your birthday, which we haven't had in a couple years now. But